A values-based life starts here.
Welcome to In Conversation with Heartlines, a show where we try and help you do what's right, so that you can fix the things that are wrong.
Welcome to a special episode of In Conversation with Heartlines. It is a special episode in that I am joined by not one, but two ladies who work with Heartlines. First up, ladies, thank you for being here. Let's start with you, Pastor Fila. Please just introduce yourself and tell us what it is you do with Heartlines.
Okay, I am a church mobilization champion at Heartlines, and I am responsible for the West Rand and in the larger part for Soweto, in promoting positive values and transforming our world through Heartlines.
Thank you so much, Pastor Figile. And I will move over to you, Pastor Dibuseng.
Thank you so much, Andile. Greetings to our listeners, and thank you for having us. I am Pastor Dibuseng Chabalala. I come from the Northwest, in Klerksdorp area. And the work I do with Heartlines there, I'm a regional rep, representing that area, also doing workshops with churches, schools and NGOs and the community at large as well. Also a spiritual worker in our correctional facility there. Yeah, so it's really amazing to serve up my community. Thank you.
Now, thank you so much for your service. And we're talking about Fathers Matter. We've had a couple of gentlemen on who were introducing the topic of Fathers Matter and saying why fathers matter. And today is a special one, and I specifically wanted ladies for this one, because we want to talk about father wounds. Let me start with you, Austin Hussein, before we get into your personal story. But I'm sure you've heard of the term father wounds. What do you understand by it? And have you ever seen them in your life or the lives of the people who you serve?
Wow, Andile, this is such an intense subject to deal with. You know, just in our communities, in the society in general, you see a lot of people who are walking around with father wounds, which is basically the fact that people have grown up without receiving the love and the guidance of a father in their lives, and which maybe later as we speak on my story, if it's something that's been there. And you see a lot of families that have really struggled through that, especially young people into their adulthood, that you realize that they did not have a father figure and their lives have become messed up because of that situation. Though some have survived and managed to make it through life, you know, but mostly are living with this fatherhood. With the workshops we've done, I mean, with pastors, with community members, there's so many stories of people who say, my mother did such a great job in raising me, but the saddest thing is that my mother denied me the opportunity to meet my father, you know, and it's different circumstances that I've permitted that, but you could see that the longing of belonging, of knowing your father, the identity, the relationship, these are all the things that a lot of people are crying about. And maybe for some, it's the issue sometimes that we think fathers only as providers. But for them, it's even more than that. That no, I just wanted the love from my father and knowing that I belong. And because of that, many of our young people are hating and frustrated because of the fatherhood.
Thank you so much, Austin was saying. And let me come to you, Pastor Figile. Fathers matter. What's your take on the campaign and its importance and significance in your community, but also in the country?
Well, Andile, having lived for as long as I've lived, I think this campaign is long overdue. Fathers Matter has come at a time where we all feel like, can we get some help, please? And this is because you look around in our communities, Andile, and you realize the amount of hurt that is in our communities because of the absence of a father. And having said that, I want to commend and applaud all the present fathers, all the fathers that even when they have lost a job, but are still there to say, my child, how do I help you with your homework? That father that says, I may not necessarily be able to buy you the Kavela or whatever label you want, my child, but I'm here to guide you through life. Those fathers that say, the marriage may not have worked, but bottom line is I have children with this woman and I'm going to take as much part in the raising of this child in whatever way and means it takes. the introduction of this project to me has come as a fresh breath of life to our community, in that we can begin to even see how the present fathers, who may not necessarily be the biological fathers of the children in our communities, can begin to close the gap, to be social fathers and assist those children that have a father deficit in their lives, and begin to say, can I be your Mordecai? Will you be my Esther? I mean, if you look at the Bible, the story of Esther, Esther did not have mother nor father. And it was not another woman that came to Esther's aid. It was Mordecai who became that father figure and took an orphan who was foreign and molded her to an element and a degree of a queen. That's what the presence of a present father does to a child.
Pastor Fihile, I think one of the biggest hindrances that we have seen for fathers gaining access to children is they're unemployed. Sometimes, you know, when breakups happen, the children become weaponized,
right,
as a way to get back at the father. I'm sure you might have seen these in your community, maybe in the church, because you're a pastor, you may deal with these situations. How do we address such things?
Andile, that is very sad. Sad because, for starters, parents forget that their fight is between the two of them. And I find that most often than not, the one who has the children often uses the children to their favor. And for the longest time in our communities, it has been almost an unsaid rule that the children stick with the mother, especially in the case where there has not been any legal process undertaken, such as who gets the custody of the children. So you'd find that in most cases, the woman is the one that remains with the children. And that means the father is the one that is almost denied access to the children. Now, there are different types of fathers when it comes to that. There are those fathers that, despite a failed relationship, they will make an effort to get in touch with their children, to be supportive and to be the father that they ought to be. And I think that's the correct way, because although the relationship may have failed with the mother of the children, the fact that there's an offspring, a fruit of their relationship, they both need to take equal share in taking care and bringing up this child or these children. So in some instances then, you find that there's this woman who feels that because you left me, or because I left you, I no longer need you in my life as the man. I therefore do not want anything to do with you, even as far as my children are concerned. And I really think and believe that that is a very selfish way of looking at things, because here this woman is thinking of themselves and themselves alone, and not considering the needs of the children, that the children still need to bond with their father. Then there's an issue wherein you find that this father is willing to come, but is judged based on the fact that they're not working. You even find instances where a man perhaps had access to their children while they worked, because they brought something with them. But because life can sometimes take unexpected turns, unemployment hits, and then this woman no longer wants to give access to the men to come see the children, forgetting that child rearing is not necessarily financially based. Yes, financial support is one, just one of the many elements of parenthood. But we don't understand sometimes as women that when you deny the father access to their children and vice versa, you are actually hurting the child. Some women may think what they are doing is to punish the men by refusing them access to the children. Now, I want to take you back to a popular movie, The Diary of a Mad Black Woman by Tyler Perry. I loved a specific part in that movie wherein the couple was fighting and they were using their child to punish each other. In particular, the woman would deny the child seeing their father and vice versa. And once somebody in that movie, I think it was the pastor, if I'm not mistaken, gave counsel and was actually, I think he was actually preaching in church, and he said, you must remember this, each time you use your child to fight your battles with your partner, you are actually disfragmenting this child. And I want you to imagine a practical thing, a belt. If you're going to take a belt and hit somebody, the more you hit that person, it's not the person only that's getting hurt. The belt itself is getting hurt. It starts to and unfortunately, what we do not realize is that when we use our children to fight our battles with our spouses, we are not just hurting our spouses, but we are hurting innocent beings whom, at the end of the day, still need the presence of both parents, regardless of whatever it is that may have separated you. The children still deserves to have both parties take an active role in their upbringing.
Wow, thank you so much for that, Pastor Fidile. Pastor Dibuseng, I'm going to come to you now. I think sometimes men have contributed to the problem. Sometimes men are abusive and they need to sort of be corrected first before they are allowed access to their child. How can women, or how can mothers, let me not say women, how can mothers heal themselves so that they can understand that the child also needs access to their father?
Thank you for that, Andile. This is deep because, like I just said, that I realized that my father was hurting from his past because he never had a father. And now, because of his abuse, he loses the opportunity to raise his children. And first thing it's to say to the fathers that most fathers, they have struggles that they have in their lives and which sometimes pushes away the other partner. And like Fikile so well elaborated, that the woman feels now she has the authority because of the man's mistakes and wrongs that they can just shut him out of the children's life. And the sad thing about that, shutting him off, some of the men, it makes them even worse in their struggles. And some of them would even be redeemed by still being in their children's life. I'm saying this because I've had also interaction with people who are running programs around mental wellness and who are people who are into drug addiction. Some men, they just decide life is not worth living because I'm unemployed, I'm unable to access my children, I'm unable even just to spend time with them, and they go to the deep end. So we are saying, we acknowledge the fact that some men have disappointed and hurt women, and because of that, the women feel like it's not a safe space for my children to be with him, as much as it was a safe space for me to be with him. But the reality is, the man needs healing as well. And measures must be in place. That's why we normally say, when you come to the issues around the abuse, we need to understand that the person who's being abusive needs help, needs counseling, needs support. And even though they might be reluctant at first, but the consequences of their choices will show them that they do need to get help. And let us refer them for help. But denying access to their children, because some cases, you know, some men are not even abusive to their children. You know, it's just because they've done something in the past and it's always put in front of them that, no, you can't see the children because of that and that and that. But you could find that spending time with their children could actually be something that makes them get a better perspective of life, that because of my children, I need to sober up, I need to man up, and I need to be kind enough because they need me. So I think the message we are saying to women, we want to acknowledge the pain that women have had and are always having, you know, in regards to relationships. And we are saying, let's not use our children to punish the man who has hurt you. Because as much as they have hurt you, but they are still the father of that child. And What is more, it's not just about the father, it's about the child. Because Father's Matter program, as much as we are trying to lift up the fathers, but we are also saying we are trying to embrace fathers and to encourage them so that they can play a positive role in their children's life, so that we can stop the hurt and the pain of children who are angry and doing crazy things in our communities because they don't have an outlet, or they are not healing from this pain of not knowing their identity, of not knowing who their father is, that sense of belonging and guidance of a male figure in their lives. So the way to stop it is to actually say to the women, and to even maybe our culture, which has promoted that if somebody has got a child, they must pay damages and stuff. Those means can still be done, but the reality is, if the men can't afford, like we talked about, employment, let there be a way of saying the father must still be present. You know, with the research that we have seen on the program of Father's Matter, it's also said that the 1,000 days of a child are so important that the father must be there as well, you know, that connection. So I think we just need to say, as women, let's be careful that we are not creating a society of men who are angry, because that is the reality of it. A lot of men are angry. I had an opportunity when this program was starting to do a pilot session with 8 men in my community. And in that session, I was amazed. You know, we normally think men are not talkative, but in that session, I had to kind of control it and try to stop some of them because it was getting very emotional, because they were sharing their stories. They were sharing their pain. And because maybe men, when they are alone, they just talk about football and other things. But that day, in that session, in that space that we had created, dealing with the issues of fathers, they said so many things that I felt like nobody's listening to the voices of the men. Nobody's listening to the voice of the fathers, how they see things and how they interpret things that are happening in their relationships and in their lives and in their role as fathers in the lives of their children. So I'm saying Father's Matter, it's a powerful campaign, because I believe it's going to help a lot of fathers heal, and also help a lot of women heal, and a lot of children to heal as well, so that people are able to be given the love and the support and the guidance that they need from both parents, because they are all important. So mothers matter, and so do fathers matter. I met an educator talking on Father's Matter, and this lady was saying, I'm an educator today. I'm driving my own car. I'm living a good life. And my mother alone helped me to grow up and do all this. But every time I ask my mother one question, who is my father? And for years since childhood, my mother could not answer. I went to primary, high school, finished, graduated, still asking the same question. And she says, until one day I said, I'm going to Kumbulekaya. I'm going to look for my dad. And the mother sobered up that moment and said, these are the names, and this is the last address I know. And the young educator went. And when she got there, they were happy, the family. They embraced him and they showed him pictures, how he looks like his father. You know, and they're not getting to the point where his father, they're just showing him the pictures. And finally, she says, come on, guys, where is he? Is he working far? What is it? And they said, we are sent to tell you that we buried your father last month. And this lady says, I broke down, because I said, my mother is awesome. She has done so many great things. But my mother has deprived me the opportunity to meet my father. And she says, even if it was just once, it was not because I want to desert my mother. Because some women feel insecure. They think maybe if the child knows their father, they will desert them. But no, it's just a sense of identity and the longing of every person that I want to know who my father is. So we are saying, let us stop the pain and the hurt that is in our children, and let us heal our society by making sure that everybody who's supposed to be in our lives must be there. As long as they are still alive, there's an opportunity to fix the matters. And let's fix it, because fathers do matter.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I love how you mentioned that us saying Father's Matter is not taking anything away from the mothers. The mothers definitely matter, but here we just want to try and promote the positive presence of men in the lives of young people. I will ask you to pray. You spoke about the mothers, you've spoken about the children, you've spoken about the fathers. Can you pray for all three of those groups of people? The mothers, so that they can give access. The fathers, so that they can stand up, take on the responsibility. And the young children, those who are without fathers, let's pray that they get social fathers. people who can fill in that role, and those who need to make a decision to reach out to their fathers. Let's also pray for them. So I'll allow you to pray.
Lord, we thank you so much for this conversation. Our prayer is that everybody who's listening today will make a decision in this matter and be able to find a positive way to heal our society. Lord, we pray right now. Firstly, I just want to reach out to all the children who are hurting and frustrated in life and angry in life because of not knowing their fathers and not receiving their love. Lord, I pray that you will meet them at that very point of their need. Help them, Lord, that as they maneuver through this, that they will find healing. Lord, I pray that as they pursue the relationship with their fathers, if they are no more, help them to heal and to forgive. And I pray that those who are still alive, let them reconnect with their fathers and find a way to be in a good relationship. And Father, we also pray that you will raise fathers who will be able to adopt children whose fathers are no longer around and be there to support them and guide them through life. We ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just want to reach out today and pray for the women who are hurting, who have gone through so much pain in life. And because of that, they've closed their hearts and they've not allowed men to access their children. Oh Lord, we pray that you will touch their hearts. We pray that they will see the bigger picture. We pray that they will not only think for their feelings, but they will also think for the feelings and the well-being of the child that they need access to their father. Help them heal from whatever pain and help them to bring love and support from the fathers to their children. We ask in Jesus' name. And Father, we also want to just to bring out the grandparents, Lord. We know they play a major role in the decision-making of the family. We also pray that you help grandparents to be able to be understanding to the challenges of men in our society who are unemployed and sometimes unable to fulfill the obligations of the cultures as expected or what they are supposed to do. We pray that we'll find common ground and make sure that the children receive the love from both parents. Father, thank you so for this conversation. Continue to guide us and to direct us as we reach out to the communities around Father's Matters. Raise up even church leaders who will stand and make a difference in our community and help us engage in conversation as communities in the matter that fathers really, really matter. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. That's all the time we have for this afternoon on In Conversation with Heartlines. We thank you so much for joining us.